Let's pray. Dear loving Father in heaven, we ask thee to be in our midst this morning hour, to open our hearts that we would receive the blessed word which thou will give unto us, and open our ears that we would hear it gladly so that we can praise thee and worship thee. This we ask in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. With help of God this morning hour, I'd like to read from the Gospel according to St. Luke, from chapter 9, beginning on verse number 51. And we can end at the end of this chapter. Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 9, beginning on verse number 51. Ljubazni Gospod na hvalu I na slavu, želim da se nađe I da se čita iz Svetog evanđelja po Luci, 9. glava, a početak da bude na 51. stihu. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And it came to pass that as they went in that way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at the home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Let us kneel before. Dear ones, this is the day of gladness and blessing. Psalm 118, not sure exactly which verse it says, 22 or 24, it says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I hope and pray that we all have this gladness, this joy, that we were able to gather together in one accord so that we can praise our God and worship Him. As Brother mentioned in prayer, we have set this day aside. It's only one day. It should not be hard for us to set this day aside and come into the house and give thanks unto our God. If you stop and think and see how much has God done unto us, for us. He saved us from the destruction, from the road which we were going. He sent His only Son to die for us, to redeem us, and to give us everlasting joy. So let us truly rejoice. This part of the chapter that we read, it's a lengthy chapter, so we just read a few verses. At the end, he says that it came to pass when it was time for Jesus that he would be received up. He had finished his mission, his work in Galilee, so he was ready to go to Jerusalem. And if you look at the map, you can see that there was a road that would take you from Galilee to Jerusalem, and you had to go through Samaritan city. We all know about the Samaritans. They did not get along with Israelites, with Jewish people. There was a hostility between them. The Samaritans were mixed race. We can read in 2 Kings, I believe 17 chapter, where it speaks about them, who they were. They were partly Israelites, but they were brought back from Babylon. Anyway, so Samaritans and Israelites did not get along. We know the story about when Jesus came and he asked the Samaritan woman to drink water, and she was surprised. Even the disciples were surprised that he was talking to her. So here it says that he sent messengers so they would go into the village of Samaritans to make ready for him. They were about to spend the night there. And it says that they did not receive him because they realized that his plan was to go to Jerusalem. So they rejected him and his disciples. Now, James and John, we read a lot about them. Peter, James, and John, they were always together with Jesus. Now, a little history, a little fact about James and John, they were the sons of Zebedee. They were fishermen together with Peter and his brother Andrew. And when Jesus appointed the 12 disciples to walk with him, it says that he gave him, James and John, he gave him a surname or a nickname, the Sons of Thunder. We can read that only, I think, in Mark, I think in chapter 3. He surnamed them, chapter 3, Mark, verse 17. And James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, or Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. And in this chapter, these verses that we read, we will see why he named them that way. So when the Samaritans did not receive them, so James and John, when they saw this, I'm sure they were very angry with the Samaritans. So they said, "Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?" So they were ready to consume him, to destroy him completely. They were upset because they did not let them go through. And they felt that they had power and authority because they were with Jesus. And they did have power and authority. We can read actually in this same chapter, in the beginning of chapter 9, he says that he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority, but not to destroy people, not to consume them, not to kill them. It says here that he gave them authority over all devils to cure diseases, to preach the kingdom of God, and to heal the sick. That's the power that they received. And yet, here at the end of this chapter, they did not recognize that yet. They wanted revenge. And there's a saying, it's a sweet revenge. As humans, even us maybe, sometimes when someone does something wrong, we want them to be punished so they can see that they did wrong. And we want immediate punishment or consequences. So James and John here wanted the same thing. And they ask, "Lord, wilt thou that we," meaning all of them, or maybe just Jesus, or maybe even just them, "that we command the fire to come down," not to pray to God even, but to command the fire to come down and consume them, even as Elias did. Now, we know the story of what happened with when did Elias have the fire come down from heaven. In Kings, 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 1, there's a story of King Ahaziah. He was the son of Ahab, one of the worst kings that ever lived. And Ahaziah was also evil. He was the ninth king, was very evil. It says that he felt, in 2 Kings, 2 book of Kings, chapter 1, that Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper room that was in Samaria. Then he was sick. So he sent messengers, it says, and said unto them, go inquire of Beelzebub, or Beelzebub, whichever way it's pronounced, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. So the messengers were about to go and inquire of this false god whether he will recover of this disease, because he realized that he was hurt so badly that he would die. As the messengers were going, angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, he says, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, is it not because there is not a god in Israel that ye go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? And then he says, now therefore thus said the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shall surely die. And then Elijah left. So the messengers came back, and Ahaziah said, why did you return so fast? He knew it would take a little longer to inquire of the false god. And he says, there came a man to meet us, and he told us to go back and tell you that you will not recover, you will die. So the king asked, what did he look like? And what they told him, he realized it was Elijah. So he sent captain with these 50 soldiers to go and bring him to him. So we know the story as it goes, that the captain of the 50s went, and Elijah was sitting on the top of the mountain, and they commanded him, thou man of God, come down, because the king wants to see you. And Elijah said, if I be the king of, or the man of God, let the fire come down and consume you and the 50 soldiers that were with him. And he did. That's exactly what happened. So the king sent another captain with another 50. Same thing. They commanded him, the man of God, come down quickly, because the king wants to see you. Same thing. He said, if I be the king, the man of God, let the fire come down and consume you and the 50 soldiers. So the king, again, did not learn a lesson. He sent another captain with his 50. Now this one had fear of God. So he told Elijah to be merciful unto him, and he kindly asked him to come down with him. He had a different spirit. So the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, go with him. So he did. And he told the king that he will die, and he did. When God says something, it will come to pass. So the disciples knew that story. So they wanted to do the same thing, to consume these people of Samaria. But he turned, verse 55, it says, but he turned and rebuked them, and he said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. You do not realize what kind of a spirit you have. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. We know that Jesus came down to save us, to die for us. Even when he was on the cross, he was able to call legions of angels to save himself. But then what would be the purpose? If he was saved, then we would not be saved. But he knew the reason he came, to die for our sins so that we can be saved and have everlasting life. We read in Galatians where Apostle Paul, when he started his mission and he got together with other apostles, and he mentions James and John and Peter. He says they seem to be pillars. He realized that they were more in charge. They were the kind of people that wanted to be first. They wanted to be in charge. They wanted to have that authority. And we know about them later on, when they were sealed with the Holy Spirit, they did the right things. James was murdered or killed for Christ. He died for Christ. And John, he was the first one actually to die for Christ. And John was the last one from the apostle to die in Jesus Christ. You know the story of how their mother came to Jesus and asked him if it's possible that two of her sons would sit one on the right hand, one on the left hand side. And we know the story about that too, how he said, he asked him, are you able to drink from the cup that I will drink and the baptism that I will go through? And they say yes. And they did. They did drink that bitter cup. As I said, James was beheaded, and John also died. He suffered quite a bit, too. Now, in Matthew, it says that mother of Zebedee asked him this, but Mark records that the actual John and James asked him that question. So either way, they wanted to sit one on the right hand, one on the left hand side. But Jesus said, that spot, or those spots are for whoever God has decided to give. So as Jesus said, the Son of Man is not come to destroy man's life, but to save them, and they went to another village. They took the longer road. It took a little longer to get there, but that was what Jesus wanted to do, instead of destroying people and showing them that he has that authority and power. There are a lot of stories about Samaritans and how Jesus was kind to them, even to the Samaritan woman. Because God wants all men to be saved, regardless of their race, whether they're Gentiles, Samaritans, or anyone, or Israelites, for that matter. Of course, he wanted them to be saved. He came to them first, but they rejected him. He was the stone that was rejected, that the builders rejected. And it came to pass, verse 57, it says, as they went in the way, a certain man, in another chapter, I think in Matthew, says it was a scribe, that came to him and said, Lord, I will follow thee wherever you go. He was ready to follow Jesus. Now Jesus said unto him, he says, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. He wanted him to, we know that Jesus always called. Even Matthew, he was a tax collector. Jesus came by him and he says, follow me. That's all he said to him. And he left everything and followed him. Even James and John and Peter, they were fishermen. And Jesus came to them and asked him to come and follow. What did they do? They left everything, the father, the Zebedee, they left them too, left their business, and followed him. But in this case, he knew the heart of this scribe. He wanted him to know that there is a proper way of following Jesus. It's more like, where do you want to follow me? I don't have a place. I have no home. I have no place to call home. The foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. Many times he spent his time, his nights, the mountain alone, praying to God. He didn't have a place. Perhaps his parents' house, but he had no place of his own. So this man had a different reason, a different way to follow Jesus. You have to count the cost. You don't just say, I will follow you no matter where you go. You know what happened to Peter when he said, I am ready to die for you. And Jesus told him, you are ready to die for me? Three times he said, I don't know this man at all. Have no idea who he is. Three times. Just because he was quick to say, I will go with you in death, to death. I will die for you. So you have to count your cost. My dear friends, if you have a desire to follow Jesus, it's a good thing. But don't follow him for a wrong reason. And make sure that you count your cost. What will it cost you? You'll have to leave something. It's Peter, James, and John. They left their business. We know the story of Elisha. When Elijah called Elisha, he told him pretty much the same thing as we read at the end of this chapter. He had an excuse. He said, let me go first kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And Elijah told him, what do I have to do with you? Go. If you need to do this, go. But then he realized he's calling, and he says that he butchered his 12 oxen that he had and all the yoke that he had, the wood, everything that he had that he was using to plow the fields. He burned it all up and butchered the oxen and gave all the meat for the people to eat. He left his old business completely, gave it all up to follow Elijah. And that's what Jesus wants us to do, to leave and forsake everything. At the end of this chapter, he says to another, follow me. And that's pretty much what he said to everyone, follow me. But the other person said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. There's always something the man wants to do first. Everyone has excuse. We all did when we were called. We all had something. Finish high school, finish college. And then what? Get a good job. That's good. And then what? Get married, have a family. That's beautiful. And then what? Save money, buy a house. Keep on going. And then what? We all have plans, and many people still do. At the end, we all die. And then what? Now that's the question we need to ask. And then what? What happens after that? I hear many people, even in the workplace, that said, well, when I'm dead, I'm dead. No. A man cannot die. Soul cannot die. It's a living soul. So nobody will die. We'll die in physical sense, definitely, but the soul cannot die. It will either rejoice in those heavenly mansions, or it will be suffering forever. That's what the Bible says. And when God calls, it would be wise to answer, because we do not know. And you do not know, my dear friend, how long he will be calling you. So if he calls you, not if he calls you, when he calls you, because he does. He called you last Sunday, the Sunday before, and he's calling you today too. You know, it doesn't matter how old you are, you can always be his disciple. It doesn't mean that you can be baptized tomorrow or next Sunday. There's a process, there's a way, there's a repentance. But you can become his disciple, that means his follower. You can be any age to be his disciple. And if you think you're not ready, I'm just not ready. I want to be 100%. You might never be 100% ready. If God calls you, answer it. Start seeking. Start reading. Pray. Pray to God. Have that communication with God. He will give you the strength, the faith, the endurance, the patience, the love, whatever you need, he will give it to you, as he has given unto us. Those of us that made covenant with God. There is no greater happiness to be than to be a child of God. In verse 6, it says, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. We know the story of the man that made a great supper and said he bade many. He invited many people. When the supper was ready, the man sent his servants to go and call them. He said, it's ready. And everyone had an excuse. I bought a piece of field, a ground. I have to go see it. I had married a wife. I got married. I cannot come. I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I need to prove them. Everyone had an excuse. And what happened to them? They were not called anymore. If God calls us too many times, if we do not answer, he might not call us anymore. A lot of times, people have plans. Well, I will be a Christian. I will come to God when I think I'm ready. And there were people that thought they were ready, but they were not called. So when we hear the voice of God, do not wait. Do not wait until tomorrow. Tomorrow might be too late. Who's to say that everyone will live to be 90? Look at the obituary section. Many people don't read papers now, but even online you can look and see who dies. Is it only old people? No. Any age, from birth until old age, it can happen to anyone, anytime. So if you wait until tomorrow, tomorrow might not come. It will come for some, but not for all. So do not wait. And then another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me go first bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. It's always something a little bit more important than following Jesus. And then he said unto him, or all of them, says, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Once you get called, you put your hands on the plow. We all know what plow is. You till the ground to put seeds in it. When you are ready to plow, if you look back, what will happen? You will not be able to go straight. You might hit a stone or rock that's in the ground. In Luke chapter 17, verse 32, he says, remember Lot's wife. We know what happened with Lot's wife. As they went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the fire came and destroyed the city because of their wickedness, because of their sins. And the angel of the Lord told them, do not turn back. Do not look. What did she do? She turned back. Completely opposite of what the angel of the Lord said. And she became a pillar of salt. She wasn't saved. Lot was saved, but she wasn't. And she received the commandment just like Lot did and his 2 daughters. But she looked back. She wanted to see. She had, I guess, desire for that city or something, that she wanted to see it one more time. So, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So if we start, my dear friend, if you start, and that goes for us too, as we have started this journey that leads to that everlasting happiness, the kingdom of God, to those heavenly mansions which God has prepared for us. If we stop and we look back, same thing will happen to us. We will not be fit for the kingdom of God. So the message is for everyone, for those that are starting and for those of us that have been on this road. We cannot look back. If we look back, that would mean that we have desire to go back. We don't want that. I don't. So let us focus on Jesus Christ, our Savior, and stay close to him. Walk with him. Listen to him. Keep his commandments. Many times we hear that his commandments are not grievous. All we have to do is be obedient, and we will be blessed. May God bless his holy word. Amen.
I really appreciated the comment that was made that regardless of our age, we can all be disciples of Jesus. To be a disciple meant to follow and to be a student of the teachings of Jesus Christ. And as we have learned and heard Jesus speaking to his disciples and to us, when we listen to his word, we find that the things that he says can cause our hearts to overflow with blessing. We learned of, among other things, of the character of God and the love and mercy that he has. When we read, "For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And when Jesus speaks these words to us and teaches us and we listen, he blesses us with a realization of how that's directed to me and how meaningful that is that he would care for us. We've read of Jesus' teachings regarding having clear thinking and sober thinking about God's call. We have read about the claim that the Lord has upon our lives. And if we would stop to think of that, does that not also grow with value and an influence over everything about us? And there's so much more. May the Lord grant us grace that we would keep our focus upon him and that we would take the things that we have learned, that we would keep them in our hearts, and that the Lord would add his increase. May God bless his word. Amen.